All right, let's continue. Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. We have been talking about Christian warfare, and we have been trying to get some things correct about this matter of warfare, all right, for believers. What really is Christian warfare? Are we supposed to go around chasing devils? I'm going to explain some of those things today. Let me say it clearly again. We are not afraid of the devil. Do you understand what I mean? Most certainly not. It's just that we have to get these things clear because sometimes Christians occupy themselves with what really is not a problem. And that's why we're discussing Christian warfare. What are we supposed to be concerned about when it comes to aggressive warring as believers? So that's what we've been discussing. So let's continue it today. Ephesians chapter 6. Our text is from verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." The first point we made on day one is that verse 11. That is, what we are standing against are what? Not the might of the devil. Alright? It's against what? The schemes of the devil. I want to break for a second and emphasize a point there. The Bible never gives us the impression that the devil is very powerful. The Bible never gives us the impression that we should be afraid of the power of the devil. If he was so powerful, he wouldn't use schemes. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says clearly that what we are defending against are what? The schemes. I like the way King James says it, the wiles. Another Bible uses the word the tricks of the devil. It's schemes that the devil is using against us. And that's what we are fighting against. And that's, we discussed that on the first day of this discussion, today being the fourth of the days. And then go back, verse 12. Let's look again to our Bibles. It said, "For our struggle or our war, our fight, is not against flesh and blood." That is not against people. I discussed that then also. But against spiritual, let me say, the demonic forces. And he outlined them like this. That they are rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And when he was describing this, he was talking about different classes of devilish forces, of demon forces. Are you getting the point? But in all of it, he said that what we are standing against are the schemes, that these are agents that perpetrate the schemes of the devil. I hope you're getting the point. Now, let's continue reading. He said, "For that reason, we should take up the full armor of God." He said, "That you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Please, a few words to emphasize here again. What we are doing is to resist, and having done all, we are standing firm. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one." Please notice that. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I made a few points about that issue of the sword of the Spirit, that we often say that it is the only offensive one of these weapons. But I dare to say to you, and this is a matter of fact, that every single weapon that is described here, all right, is defensive. And I know the sword can be used as an attacking weapon, but it also is used as a weapon of what? Defense. You've seen people who are fighting with a sword. It's that same sword that they use to defend. But my emphasis is simply by saying that is the fact that everything here, the Bible gave them to us to defend ourselves, all right, against the schemes, not the power. Please get this clear. But against what? The schemes, not the power of the devil. But what? His schemes. Every single one is used to defend against the schemes of the devil. Now, please, we emphasize that point. And the last time I said something, which I should quickly read it again. Quickly go back, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, from verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses," all right, "and in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." That is what put you under death, all right? What brought you under the dominion of death was the fact that you were walking in your trespasses and sins. All right? And he said he walked in that according to the course of this world. That is this normal way that the world expects things to be done. He now said, you walk according to the prince of the power of the air. All right? Of the spirit which is walking in the sons of disobedience. Now, please, what I discussed that time was this issue of what? The prince of the power of the air. Please, let me explain that. Again, this was talking about demonic forces. But what is a Christian supposed to do, all right, concerning it? I'll show you. It's simple. We discussed it last time. That it's not saying that this prince of the power of the air is powerful against you as a Christian. Please get that point. If he were powerful, do you get what I mean? He wouldn't be using schemes against you. But what is the issue? The prince of the power of the air, what he's doing is to teach the people of the world how to walk. It is a manner of walking that he teaches to them that leads them into death as they walk in their sins and their trespasses. And what's their sin and trespass? The way by which they are walking as this prince of the power of the air is teaching them. How many of you have read this book? I think I've asked it several times, but I keep asking. Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Next time I ask that question, I'll give you another 2 months. If I ask it again, you become my enemy. Because I think the number of times I've referred to it, by now you'll have, at least, you'll have gone to go and borrow one to read. All right? This is the way it works. The stability of your times. If you watch our broadcast, that's why we started like that. You see, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding equals what? Stability. What will give you stability is understanding. And understanding doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come easy. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. It doesn't just come because you just sit down somewhere. If you don't read, you'll be entirely stupid. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. I see a lot of preachers, and they make a lot of blunders, and it's obvious they don't read. It is obvious. You cannot read the mistakes other people made, except there is a serious problem you have with God, and you keep on making the same mistake. Listen, if you want stability in your life, you must read. I remember many years ago, I was listening to a message, because the same thing, you keep listening to messages, reading. And the man said, I think I was reading it that day. He said, are you training to be a pastor? I said, what do you mean? I mean, I found that question very, very odd. He said, because you're always reading the word of God. And I look at him, that's why you Christians will always have problems. I was reading to feed my spirit. Do you follow my point? I was reading to be blessed. I wasn't reading for any other reason. And he asked me whether I was training to be a pastor. Unfortunately, it turned out that I was going to be a pastor, or I already was. But as God is my witness, that wasn't the reason why I was reading. I read because I want to know. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Please, you guys are making me digress, all right? But that's just by the way. Make sure you read it. These are the books. I recommend a book like that. I don't sell the book. I would have loved to sell it to you, but I don't. But just walk out. There are many bookshops in town which stock these books. The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. It will really bless you. Now, there's a reason why I refer to the book. If you read that book, you'll see Rick Joyner describe visions that he saw. And you see how evil spirits cast their influences upon people. And people do their bidding. Most people not even knowing that that's what is going on. They are doing the will of the devil. Do you get the point I'm making? I'm trying to bring out the issue of this prince of the power of the air. What it does is to create, listen to me. It creates traditions amongst the heathen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say it to you again. The devil doesn't have the kind of power we think he has. He is totally powerless. In fact, let me speak specifically about the life of the Christian. The Bible says that Jesus was, the Bible, Paul was writing concerning Jesus Christ, that he destroyed, he brought to naught all principalities and powers and made a public show of them. Listen, let me say it clearly. The devil doesn't have power. Are you getting my point? He can't just kill people because he so desires. A man said something like that, and that person pinched him and said, quiet, the devil may just hear. He said, let him hear. It is because of him I'm saying it. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. He doesn't have that kind of power. What he does, listen, to keep people in bondage, what he does is to create traditions for them. That's why I've been warning you. The traditions of our people, forget it. If you see a good quality from your people, learn it. Any other thing, discard it. There's nothing like this is the way it is done in our place. There is a good way to do something. There is a bad way to do something. Do you get my point? if you learn the good way to do it, how they do it in your place is arrant nonsense. You look at what is good, do you follow? And you learn it. Most importantly, you read the word of God and learn that which is good. Do you follow what I'm saying? You study the word of God and learn that which is good. I'm saying this to highlight a point here. Talking about the prince of the power of the air. What does he do? He creates traditions for the heathen. You know why he does that? Because that is what he uses to keep them in bondage. What I'm saying is clear to you. He uses those traditions to keep them in bondage. Once you keep doing things in a particular way, because you see, sin, I say all the time, is not about whether it is morally sound or it is not morally sound. Let me explain what sin means again. Have you ever bought an equipment, all right? And it can be used worldwide. Now, these days, most equipments, just plug it in, like a TV, and the voltage range is from 100 to 240. You've seen them, all right? Now, that means if you use it, United States is all right. You use it in Nigeria, it's okay. But there are equipments that come equipped with a switch. And you read the manual, they'll tell you, if you are using this where the voltage is 110, switch it this way. If it's the other way, if it's 220 like we have in Nigeria, switch it the other way. Now, this is what sin is, an iniquity. I go and buy an equipment, all right? Maybe I travel to the U.S. and I bought it in the U.S. Now, because of the kind of equipment it is, it has that kind of switch. Use it 220 or 240. Sorry, 110 or 220, all right? I bring it to Nigeria, and somebody didn't check. He just walked in and plugged it and decided to switch it on. What happens after a few minutes? It burns. Was anybody angry? No. Sonny wasn't angry with you when he said, this thing is for 110 volts. If you want to use 220, you switch it or you put a step down. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. It's not because somebody is angry with you that your money gets lost, you know, that you lose your valuable equipment under such circumstances. No, the reason is simple. You have disobeyed an instruction, even though you may not have done it deliberately. There are some people who are very, very rash. They say, it doesn't matter, it will work. You've seen that kind of thing before. All right, it doesn't matter, it will work. No, I'm not talking about them. I'm saying you were honest in your intentions. But will this spoil? Listen, my brethren, that is what sin is. Sin is not a moral matter. Sin is whether it is in accordance with divine order or it is not. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? So when traditions are set for people, all right? When traditions are set for people and they start walking in those traditions, one of two things happen. Either the thing sets them into bondage to the power of death, because they are walking by that in sin. Not because they deliberately wanted to sin, but because they are following an order that's against the will of God. And believe me, many things in our society, that's the way they are. You know, I analyze the problems in the world. I do some reasoning, thinking. And I look at a country like America and their record on marriage. Do you understand? I even listen to preachers they have stable homes, stable families from what we can see from outside, and they are trying to teach people, all right, the way by which they will have stability in their homes. I remember when I was watching one day, I told my wife, we're watching together, it was on TBN. I said, this is not right. You are not telling people the truth. And I can tell you as a matter of fact, I haven't observed it because there's a problem. I told you, the prince of the power of the air, what does he do? He teaches people how to behave. He sets traditions for them. Truth is very hard to tell, sometimes even amongst Christians. Because certain things are not popular. Do you get my point? Let me give you a very practical example. Talking about these civilized, so-called advanced countries now. People are raised, all right, a lot of times to think that if you flog your child, you don't know how to raise a child. In fact, there are publications explaining that when you flog a child, you are teaching the child that violence is the way to solve problems. I thank God for people like James Dobson, who came strongly against it and wrote a lot of books. especially for Christians, to understand that disciplining includes the rod. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod, all right, of correction will drive it, what? Far away from him. Now, this is a point. If you go to the center of people who have imbibed that doctrine, that you must never flog a child, and you want to teach them the truth, they will think something's wrong with you. I was reading James Dobson the other day, and he described a scenario. One day, a child was misbehaving in a public place, like a restaurant. And the father warned the child a number of times. He didn't hear. So the father dragged the child out to the car park and proceeded to get a cane to flog the child. And as he was delivering his judgment, one woman passing said, "Stop that right now. Stop that right now, or I'm going to call the police." And the child stopped. The child being flogged, looked at the father and said, "What is wrong with her?" Did you hear that? The child being flogged looked at his father and said, "Daddy, what's wrong with that woman?" Because even he understood that this man loves me. Even he understood that I am getting what the Bible calls a just recompense of reward for my misbehavior. But I'm just using that to explain something. People like that woman, they go to church. I have been to churches before, as an example. I remember this particular scenario in my head. And the man was preaching. It was supposed to be like either men's week or women's week. You know the way we do Mother's Sunday, Sister's Week, Children's Day, you know, something like that. This was something I think about women. And the preacher was talking about the power in a woman. A woman is powerful. And there was one woman beside me. My wife remembers I'm saying this thing now. And she was jumping. Woo, woo, woo. You know, excitement. And there are women that can do anything that a man can do. And she was, you know the way we do it. Woo, 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 woo. We carry our Bible. Be shaking it, you know, out of excitement. And then the man kept on and on and on like that. And everything he was saying was sound. That in Christ Jesus, we are one. We are the same. There's no longer male or female. All of us can serve God. We can preach the gospel. And the woman was going crazy. Then finally the man said, "Having said that, however, we are different. Men are different from women." And he wanted to start explaining the differences. And the woman, right there beside me, said, "We are the same." That is everything that guy said. Afterwards, that because as far as she was concerned, what do you mean? You want to put us down? Do you get what I'm trying to explain? You know, because sometimes when you teach what is right, you know, I watch news a lot. And right now, the Taliban has really gotten strong in Pakistan. And they want to enforce their own form of Islamic, Sharia. And now, one of the things is that the women can't go to school. You have to cover your face everywhere you go. You can't leave the house without your husband's permission and stuff like that. Now, when you tell a typical American or a typical European about the divine order that wives be subject to your own husbands, you know what comes to their mind? The Taliban. I'm talking about the prince of the power of the air. There's a trick he uses. He teaches you as if Taliban doctrine is what these people are trying to preach. I'm still talking about something here. So when you try to tell the truth to people, it rises up inside them. Say, "No, I won't accept that." I'm coming to something, you know, I told you about these marriage problems in America. That's where I said all of these things from. So having observed it, I realized, I've not seen in recent times, watching international TV, hearing even preachers preaching about stability in the home for them to emphasize that wives be subject to their own husbands. It's so alien. So you use all kinds of methods to try and bring stability to a home. Listen, all you need to do, don't even be married. Just run an association on your campus, on your school, wherever, where there's no head, and you'll see what they call pandemonium. In which everybody must have his say, and equally too. In which everything is decided by democracy. Listen, even American does the gold standard for democracy. The president has veto. No matter how powerful you are as Congress, Senate in America, if the president says no, no is no. You can use all kinds of methods. If the guy's heart is resolute, the reason why the Congress seems to get away sometimes is because the president still wants to be popular. If the man puts his foot down, you have to impeach him to get that thing to move forward. The war to go to Iraq was not popular at all amongst anybody. But America went to Iraq. Do you get the point I'm making? You see, the way it works in that in democracy there is simple. All of us, you know, the other day, you know, Barack Obama is undoing a lot of things that the other people did. You know, it's not, for a moment I thought that, you see, this is just a matter of personality. He's just personally different from George Bush. Just personally different. So the whole country is dependent now upon one person's personality? Yes and no. Knowing that they saw the personality and voted for that personality to go and represent them. That is, this is what we want now. But what I want to bring out here is this. You see that one person, all right, once you elect him, he leads. You don't, once you elect him, equal talk has ended. No, look, I'm trying to bring out something here. So all you need to do is, you want a stable home, stable marriage, all this one of we're all equal. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that at all. There must be structure, there must be authority. I'm bringing out something here. So the prince of the power of the air, when he wants to break people's marriages and homes, he teaches them doctrines that are not in accordance with God's order. He teaches them things that are not in accordance with divine revelation. So people start practicing them. Listen, and without renouncing those things, listen to this, they are having breakdowns every day in their marriages. Then they join hands and start rebuking the devil. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You can rebuke that devil from now till tomorrow. He doesn't go away. The reason is simple. Where he grabbed his power from, you haven't touched it. You are cutting the branches. I was referring to a particular message I was reading one day on TV. The man was teaching about how to make your wife happy. I said, oh gosh, these people don't get the point. So I said, I want my wife to be happy, believe me. And I will learn as much as I can. And over the years, see, I don't need to try now. See? I don't need to try. See, I did try. Amen? But the point I'm making is that you see a man arguing upon the premise, all right, that I need to, let me say it like this, it's by manipulation that the marriage lasts. It's by trying to make the marriage work that the marriage lasts. I told my wife, then we were watching this together, I said, this guy is preaching on a wrong premise. The things he's saying, now, let me tell you something about God. God is very kind. And he helps people. And later on, we'll talk about mercy. All right, I'm talking about this matter of handling evil spirits. We'll talk about mercy. God helps people. And sometimes he knows that some people are so stubborn. And he tries to bless them as much as he can. In fact, I like the way Ken Hagin will always put it, that we do the things we like, that God tries to bless us as much as he can. But this is the interesting part, within the limits of our obedience. I'm bringing out something. The disciples of Jesus said to him, Moses allowed us to divorce our wives now. And that was true. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, from the beginning, it was not so. He that made them how? Male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And whatever God has so joined together, let no man, not even the law of Moses, not even the permission of Moses, put it asunder. And he said, why did Moses give you that law? It was because of the hardness of your heart. This is what I'm coming to. Sometimes the hearts of people are so hard. What is substandard to God's order, all right, is apparently accepted by God. Do you get my point? And it doesn't quarrel. Let's take as an example, polygamy. Read through the Bible. There was never a time God said it was good. Not once. Not one time. But most of the time, you know what he does? He said, David has married another wife. He said, Gabriel, I don't want to know about it. I don't know what I came around. He said, Yokai, I come out. Well, Michael will arrive. He said, sir, he said we should protect David. It was war yesterday. Say what happened. He went to go and marry another wife. So on our way, trouble. See all the evil spirits fighting us. And God will look and shake his head and say, now, wow. As much as we love this David, all these speaking wives at random here and there is the reason why he will never be stable in life. I have my own theory about it. I may not swear by this, but I suspect it's very true. At the age of 70, it was 70-something, David was so weak. Are you hearing this? He was so weak that he couldn't even keep warm by himself. They had to get another person. They know he likes women. So they got a girl to go and be sleeping beside him to keep him warm. The Bible had to tell us that, but he knew her not. Because normally, David, you are getting what I'm saying? The emphasis had to be made because David was such a vicious guy when it comes to woman matters. I was reading one man, one of those preachers of those days, old-time preachers, and he said that that was what Solomon inherited. And I believe it. In fact, these days, there are some understanding I begin to have. Children pick traits, spiritual traits. I don't mean physical traits now. Spiritual traits, and they amplify it. You see, a boy is always telling lies and very, very quarrelsome and fighting. Go and check. That his mother, we know they talk. Now, because the papa did very hard, truly that woman is Narija, good woman. I'm not saying it has to be the woman. Sometimes the man, I'm just saying that sometimes you see everybody's quiet. Where did this boy get this thing from? It's inside the heart, hidden somewhere. Amplified. He's playing now something the father or the mother couldn't play out. I'm bringing another issue. That is, it was never agreeable with God. He just overlooked it. But that was the source of all David's problems. That was the source. I was saying that as an old man, he became very weak. At the age of 70, Moses was 120 years old. Do you get my point? His strength was not diminished. His eyes were not dim. What was David doing at 17 being so weak? I researched it and I decided polygamy was his problem. Now, that's my opinion. No, that's my opinion. Listen, I can prove it from scriptures, actually. A man wastes his energy marrying too many women. It's a waste of spiritual energy. Solomon carried his own to another extreme. And what happened? Evil spiritual energy finished. When he was old, he didn't go to worship other gods, really. He just didn't like the quarrel that all these young women, you know, if you don't allow them to worship the god that they want now, they will say you don't love them again. That's how the idiots are there following them to shrines. Why? Because strength. Oh God, so many things to teach. Strength, spiritual strength has quantity. God gives you a dose. If you like, misuse it. Marrying three wives is a misuse of spiritual strength. Do you get the point I'm making? I'm using all of these things to talk about the prince of the power of the air. It creates cultures for people, acceptable norms and standards. Even if God doesn't directly speak against it and come hard against it, once it's not in accordance with what he really wants, we have opened the door for the devil. That is what I'm saying. We have done what? Opened the door for the devil. Please, get my point. That's why you pray certain prayers, it doesn't work. I was giving examples of using these marriage matters, using a country like United States and most of these so-called civilized countries. A basic thing has been introduced into the society. What they have done is to remove the strength, all right, the respect, that's a better word, that the man has in the eyes of his wife. Do you follow? One day we're watching a movie, and a guy and his wife or girlfriend, something, they were having issues. The guy wanted her, they were going to get married. Yes, they were engaged. He wanted her to move and come and join him in Israel. They were both Americans, all right? But he's a journalist. And the woman, at that time, was living in Israel. And the woman was working in an advertising agency. And he wanted him to come over and stay in America. He should prefer it. And then he asked advice from somebody. And they said, don't mind him. He can be a journalist anywhere. All right? But you can only be an advertiser in America. Refuse. And she refused. And at the end of the day, they showed that the man finally came to his senses and came and joined her. And I looked at her and I shook my head. I said, these young girls will be watching this thing and think this is the way forward. No, it is not. It is not the way forward. It is not. Look, you know what I always say? Must you marry him? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. No. As far as I'm concerned, when you have not married him, you don't have to marry him. You don't want to live in Israel, say, Brother Lou, I don't want to live in Israel. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're a man, don't agree to come back to America. Oh God, am I teaching marriage today? Some of you came with questions on your mind. You are the one causing all of these things. This was not supposed to be my discussion for today. But I will answer a few more questions. All right? He said, what is he supposed to do? What is he supposed to do, a man? I'll tell you the trick, what one of my friends did. He was a doctor in a village somewhere in Imo State, and his wife was a lecturer in Enugu here. They were not married then. He was still, you know, he had proposed his manifesto, and he was winning the election rapidly. So, all right, and the issue now was that the sister said she didn't want to move and go and live in the village. And the guy said, well, this is where the Lord has called me to for now. I ain't leaving the village and coming to the city. They tossed that one up and down. The guy put his foot down. And finally, he won. The woman now agreed that, all right, she'll move to the village. And decided to resign her appointment, all right, as a university lecturer and go and start living in the village. Just before she did that, the guy announced to her that he actually was planning to leave the village and come down to the city. And that was what he did. He finally moved down to the city. You know his reason? Please, let's get used to it. This is not democracy. You're marrying me. You know, I've told all of you young women, no matter how nice the guy is, no matter how nice he is, once you marry him, he becomes a boss. He's not a wicked man. It's just because you want a good husband. Don't you want a good husband? Any husband that everything must be negotiated is a goat. Don't marry him. No, listen to me clearly. I'm not saying you don't listen to your wife. Oh, did I say that? I'm not saying that at all. I am saying you have to learn to take lead. Oh gosh, somebody, please, you guys just confess. Who came with these kind of questions today? Please now, in another one, confess. Because I can feel, rope, they drag me. I've tried to leave it rope. Yes. You're laughing so guiltily. Is it because the man is better than the woman? No. No, 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 no. It's just that God appointed him the head in the house. That is all. That's all. That's all. That's all. Have you noticed something? Let me ask you a simple question. Have you noticed I didn't ask your opinion before I stopped you from coming late? Did you notice that? Does it mean I'm better than you? No, it's because I'm the guy here. I'm the pastor Banky here. Not you. When I come to your office, you decide when we can come and when we can't come. There's no majority. If I want to ask questions, I always do. Ask people who work with me, what do you think? Do you think this one is better? What do you think of this color? Let's do this like this. We talk, but once we have to make a decision, I decide what is best because it's my... Not because I'm better. Did you hear an amen? Not because I'm smarter. Did I hear an amen? But because it's my responsibility. And you cannot execute my responsibility for me. How many of you watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? If you watch it, confess and put up your hand. It's not a sin. It's a good program. Have you noticed that you have three lifelines? Phone a friend. 50-50. Ask the audience. And when those muguns want to answer, because I don't know, they should tell some audiences not to answer. They ask a question. They don't know the answer. They are still answering. They should tell the audience, say, please, if you don't know, if you are mugun in this regard, don't talk. The professors there should talk. I don't like when people don't know something they will be talking. You know, you've been to Lagos. Please, I'm looking for Ajale Koko Street. They say, go like this, go like that, go like that. The guy doesn't even know the street. He's not even living in Lagos. So they pack all those Lagosians, as far as I'm concerned, to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They say, all right, who was the first African to sing Papalele in Chocololo? Now, what does that mean? Nothing. They have no idea. They don't know. Say, all votes now. In SEC, A, 25%, B, 26%, D, 24%, E, 25%. Everybody voted. They have no idea. Now, but that's just the joke. This is the main thing I'm coming to. When they finish, even if the audience is 91% for a particular option, what's the next thing Frank Idoho says? Do you want to go with the audience? It's not automatic. You now make a decision whether you want to go with the audience or not. Your friend calls, are you sure? You guys are very sure. Are you sure? I am sure. That's phony friend. At the end of the day, Frank Idoho asks, so, do you want to go with your friend? Do you know why? It's your responsibility. That's all. It's not your friend's responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the audience. It's your responsibility. So no matter what the audience says, no matter what your friend says, no matter what the options show up, you make up your mind. Even Frank Idoho will say, are you sure? Why do you say it like this? He can talk. At the end of the day, so final answer. Is that your final answer? He repeats it twice. Is that your final answer? Once they go, boom, that's it. You are in. Either you lose it. But this is the point. It's your responsibility. Nobody else's. And that is why the husband makes the decision. Because it is his responsibility. You know, some people say that, doesn't mean you always get your way. That is not true. It's not your way. It's just that you always have to make the decision. If you decide to tell your wife, okay, do whatever you want to do, that's still a decision. Do you get my point? That is still a decision. But whatever it, and this is another interesting part, even when you don't make a decision, you know you make a decision. Under the law, God gave the children of Israel a particular law. He said that if a woman makes a vow, if she's not married and her father hears about it, he has 24 hours to annul it or confirm it. If he doesn't do any of the above, it's defaultly confirmed after 24 hours. If she's married, the same thing. The husband, this time around, he has 24 hours from the time he hears, this is the point, from the time he hears, if she goes to make a vow in secret, it is not confirmed until her husband or her father hears, and after 24 hours, the man either confirms or overturns it. Whatever decision he makes stands, and if he makes no decision at the end of 24 hours, defaultly it is confirmed. That, look, that's the way it is. So I tell people, it's not by force, you don't have to marry. But if you want to, you got to do your job. Are you getting my point? If I ask you, why did you do this and as a man? Maybe I one of the people I instruct in the word of God. First time I said, my wife said, no wahala. Second time my wife said, third time my wife said, I will use my microphone and give you a depressed core fracture. Because you are a very stupid man. Even if your wife says, you don't tell me, your wife says, tell me the reason why you decided. If he said that, look, I think it will be in the best interest of my wife. That's good. He said, oh, I thought about it and I think my wife will enjoy this most. That's correct. That's your decision. Do you get my point? If I say, okay, after considering everything, I think this would be the best thing for us to do. Please, each time you must take the responsibility. Don't be like the man who they said, you've heard this story before. All you that your wives control, come to this side. All the big men, tall men, fat men, large men, strong men, rich men, they came to one side. All those of you that control your wives, come to this side. And one small man that looks afraid came and stood there. He said, ah, how come of all these men here, you that look least likely is the one that's most powerful? He said, actually, sir, my wife said I should come here. The Lord is good. Listen, I'm bringing out something, the prince of the power of the air. When Satan wants to frustrate families, overturn marriages, he starts explaining to you. You probably are more educated than him, you know? Yes. You know you think more than he does. He doesn't think, yes. But then you finish explaining, oh God. And this is a painful part. As the more you believe it, the more you have reasons to believe it. I don't know whether you get my point. The more you believe it, the more you have reasons to believe it. Let me tell you what you're supposed to do as a woman. There's one power that people who are supposed to be submissive have. Listen, later on we'll talk about it, how to have power with God. The submissive man is the most powerful man. Do you get what I'm saying? The person who is submissive is the one that God specially defends. So if you have a man and a woman in the house, the person who God supports more, most of the time, is a woman. Now, when I say support now, I don't mean that it's whatever she says goes. But she has a special power to approach God on matters that that guy doesn't have. The reason being that he has the power to dictate matters. She doesn't. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, this is the way it is. God is always the father to the fatherless, the husband to the widow. That is, the widow has more husband in God than the married woman. Do you get what I'm saying? In the same manner, when you are supposed to be under authority, you tend to have more approach before God than the man who's above authority, if you get my point, the one who's the authority. Because God has to come to your defense. He's the one that puts you under that kind of precarious situation. I'm bringing out something. So what is the woman supposed to do? It's simple. You use prayer. Oh God, you will use prayer. You know what they call prayer? You will use prayer. Not to manipulate. We don't have time to talk about the principle of witchcraft. Some of the things we do is pure witchcraft. So some of the things we do is pure witchcraft. So I'm not talking about how to use the principles of witchcraft to control your husband. You go to the home. When he's not around, you put his picture down. You anoint it with oil. And you cover it with the Bible. Lord, as I'm talking now, he will be listening. That's witchcraft too. No, I'm telling you, I've told you, most witches don't go to Coven. No. They are Pentecostal Christians. They pay tithes, they give offering, they pray, they speak in tongues. They don't go to Coven. They believe. But nobody taught them that it's witchcraft. Say, carry your husband's photo, put it there. Anoint it with oil. Wrap it with the Bible. Confess over him, whatever I tell him to do, he will do. That is witchcraft. It works sometimes. People don't understand these spiritual things. Witchcraft often works, except that it opens the door to an evil spirit into your life. You will go mental, you will die early. That's the curse of God upon witches. Be careful. Nobody teach you principles of witchcraft. When I say go to God, what I mean is this. When I say your power, you will literally go to God and kneel down and make your request known to God. Listen to me, daughter of God, you may be wrong. I don't know, get my point. Something is paining you and you go and pray before God doesn't mean you're not wrong. You know what prayer means? It's submission again. When you leave the place of prayer, you leave the matter alone. If the man changes his mind, then you know God was on your side. You were right. If he doesn't, God had just proved to you that you were not right. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? See, I hope I've answered your question. Let me get back to my message. Those of you who pushed me in that regard, let me just go back to my message. But how I connected with that was this. That this is a principle. Something is not popular, or something is popular, may just be the very thing that's opening the door to the devil in our lives. And we join hands, join hands, join hands, join hands, join hands, join hands. Pray, pray, pray. Fast, fast, fast. The problem is not solved. Do you know why? Fundamentally, we are holding on to the principle of the prince of the power of the air. Fundamentally, we are holding on to that principle. What I'm saying, I hope it is clear. Listen, the Christian warfare, let me get back to it. You listen, let me say it again. I don't think we have to go into that over that in details. When Jesus died, he defeated the devil. Did I hear an amen? He has overcome. He said, I was beholding and I saw Satan fall like lightning. The Bible said, let's quickly read that one so that we'll get it very clear. The book of Colossians. Because I feel like we shouldn't spend time on it. When Jesus rose up from the dead, you know what he said? All powers in heaven and on earth have been given unto me. Colossians chapter 2. From verse 8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily. And in him you have been made complete, and is the head over all rule and authority. Now let's quickly come down. In verse 13, and when you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of death written, consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it away, taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He said, when he disarmed, notice that, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. That is, I like the way he said in King James, he spoiled principalities and powers. The devil doesn't have the power, any power over the child of God. Are you getting my point? He doesn't. He has been dethroned in your life. I said something last time, let me say it again. You have to learn how to draw your ancestry. Do you get what I'm saying? You say, I am of God and I have overcome him. That's what John said. You are of God and you have overcome. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you get the point I'm making? We don't need to go over this again. I believe we all know it if we are children of God. We are of God and we have overcome the devil. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, stop making him an agenda. This night we are going to face Satan. Why should you face him this night? It's none of your business. Do you get the point I'm making? Look, it's very important we understand this issue. He said, don't you ever deal with the devil. You do when he shows up. Not imaginary show up. You think about imaginary show up. You try to open your door, your key is missing. You rebuke the devil. You get my point? You didn't put water in your car. Your engine begins to overheat. You, this Satan overheating, I rebuke you. When you bought that car, they told you, the radiator is too small. It's not tropicalized. Go and get a bigger one. You haven't done that. You are rebuking the devil. Now, I'm bringing out something. Let's stop seeing evil spirits where they are not. It's very important, please. That thing is very important. Listen, you are far above all powers of the devil. I am talking now about schemes. The devil understands this thing. And that's why he's using schemes against us. All right? The message I want to preach, I have not gotten there. I don't know who dragged me into all of that when I was doing. All right? Those of you who did, be careful very, very, very much. All right? Okay. Now, so I'm explaining something here. So the schemes is what I'm explaining. The problem that goes wrong is that Satan comes to us with schemes again. He starts tempting. And this is warfare. The real fight you are supposed to fight is the fight to resist the temptations of the devil. Do you get my point? You know, last time I was talking about that, that's when I began that issue of the prince of the power of the air. Listen, you are going to go out to do your business. There is a culture that Satan has already taught the people in the market. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to be careful not to learn their culture. Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar. That was what I tried to explain. There is an attitude of the prince of the power of the air. If you dabble into it, you're automatically subject to the power of the devil. That is the way it works. You cannot rebuke it. You can't. If you dabble into his principles, you are subject to his power. That's why Paul said, labor, fight, use all your energy to enter into God's rest. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to us here. What I really wanted to preach, let me just go back to that. You know, we read that Ephesians chapter 6, but let me just go back to this. You know, because of time, I won't read anything now. Let me just continue talking. I said something last time. Let me go back to it. I said that there are two kinds of warfare that Christians are involved in. One is purely defensive. Purely. And that's what we've been discussing. And that's the most important warfare. The reason is because, you know, there is something that overcomes the devil. You understand what I mean? About the victory that overcomes the devil. I've gone through the scriptures. I have seen that there's one thing that really defeats the devil in your life totally. That is, now listen to this. You understand that the devil has been defeated. He has been cast down. But he's scheming against you. He's trying to pull you down. There is one thing that totally abolishes his power. And that thing, you know, it's not easy. Don't leave. There's no special key. All right? All of your eyes don't open, like Pastor, say it. I will say it anyway. It's called perseverance. Is that here, amen? Amen. It's called endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved. You know what it means? It can be hard. Things can be tough. I've read through the scriptures, I've meditated, and realized that is what overcomes the devil. I said there are two warfares we are involved in. From the Ephesians chapter 6, we see the first one is defensive. And what he says is for you to just stand your ground. Are you getting what I'm saying? What are you supposed to do? Stand your ground. God is not expecting to make any advancement in that area. No. What he says is what? Stand your ground. What are you standing your ground concerning? Your faith. What are you standing your ground concerning? Say it loud. Your faith. That's what you are standing your ground concerning. Listen, I discovered this thing. You will discover something. The Bible says, if you read that Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was talking, take no thought for the morrow. You'll see, he always emphasized the issue of rest in the life of the Christian. If you read Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, he explained that thing. That what you need to do is to enter into God's rest. Anyone who has entered into his rest has ceased from his works. That's what he is always trying to explain. If you enter into the rest of God, now you know what that means? It means then God can walk in your life. God can walk concerning your circumstances. Please get my point. Sometimes, it's as if you have prayed enough. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Sometimes it's as if we have prayed too much. We have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Look. There's something I said before about wisdom for salvation. If you hear the word of God, God will give you particular wisdom for your situation. Do you get my point? What your fight is to hold on to that wisdom for your salvation. When I talk about the helmet of salvation, all right, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, talk about the sword of the spirit and all of that. What are you doing? In fact, the one that's most interesting for me, which I want to explain briefly, is the issue of the shield of faith. You say you do, what we use it for? To quench all the fiery arrows. You know what that means? Fire-tipped arrows. Now, listen to this. This modern day, of course, we don't use such a weapon. We use something like that. They tell you about phosphorus bombs that Israel used in Gaza, and they say it's against international law of warfare, and they said it's not those kind of that. This, they don't only explode, they set places on fire. Those days when you had fenced cities, one of the things you did was you could set the city on fire. How do you do it? You put a burning stuff at the tip of the arrow, light it, and shoot it. That is, when it hits a place, it sets the place on fire. Are you getting the point there? Alright? So what does the shield of faith do? I'm bringing out something. He quenches those fires. Now, which fire are we talking about? I'm bringing out something here. Go and read James. James explained something about the tongue. He said the tongue is what? A little member. He said, but it's a little fire that sets a great forest on fire. I listened to James and I realized what Paul was saying here. One of the things that the devil uses against you as his fairy-tipped arrows are what? Words. What did I say? Words. Negative words. He's always speaking. Listen, every day he's always talking, trying to scare you. Hey, have you heard? Fuel is now 100 naira per liter in Enugu. What are we going to do? I think we are all going to just die. And then that's it. Hey, your knees start shaking. There's an epidemic of meningitis. Have you not heard? In fact, Ebola virus is now running rampage all over the country. Are you not in trouble? This virus kills people. It kills people. It kills people. It kills people. It kills people. And that's it. The man starts getting afraid. The Bible says, fearing, he began to sink. Are you getting my point? What is he doing? He's trying to set your whole life on fire. Please, I hope what I'm saying is getting clear to you. There's a story I like to tell once. This is an meningitis story. Came. One of my guys came to our office somewhere in Lagos. He said, this meningitis is deadly. Once you catch it, in 2 days, you're dead. Everybody run, run now. Everybody leave the department. Go and take the vaccine. And as God is my witness, I was angry. I have nothing against vaccines. I think they are good. All my children are vaccinated. Even me, I'm sure I should be vaccinated here and there. I'm sure I should go and take some vaccines. There's nothing wrong with it. They are good. If you call a good vaccine, I'll take. Nothing wrong with them. But that day I was vexed in my spirit. Everybody run. I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. One of my colleagues said, are you not going? I said, I'm not going. He said, why? I said, how will it be heard that I, child of God, blood-bought, redeemed, started running because I heard the name meningitis. I said, I'm not taking. Let the meningitis come. I said, listen, when meningitis hears my name, he should run. Not me running. I refused. That was my only reason why I refused to take. I'm not joking to you about it. I was just angry. Run, the thing kills. I said, it can't kill me. For information, death is not an accident. I'm not destined to die now. I will not die. He said, run, run. I said, I'm not going anywhere. And the reason why I refused, it's just because I was angry. If they had come to the department and said, please, we are giving meningitis vaccine. Please, please, everybody take home. I probably would have taken. But the man said, if you don't want to die in 2 days, run and go and get your vaccine. I said, listen, if meningitis does not want to die in 2 days, he had better move. Banky is coming. That's how I concluded it. I'm talking about what? Warfare. Listen, it's not as if we go around looking for the devil. Later on, we'll talk about the ministry of intercession. When you pray and pray devils out of other people's lives, let me tell you how devil gets out of your own personal life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and all of that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. The first line of that portion is what? The Lord is my shepherd. That is, as long as I faithfully obey the word of God and follow the instructions of the shepherd, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how you do your own personal warfare. I'm talking about defense. Defense. The Bible says that God has given you all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness. Every single thing. There is nothing you have ever wanted, imagined in life that God has not yet granted if it's good for you. Are you following my point? What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to remove you from the Garden of Eden that God has planted you in. And we are saying that what you do is that you use those weapons to resist. And I'm using one as an important example. The shield of faith. Let me just talk about two of them. And the word of God. The shield of faith actually is a confident assurance you have in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? That does not allow all the negative things of life move you. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? I do this all the time. Today, after, because Israel and I were here since morning, and I ate an extremely light breakfast when I was coming, and when I was going back in the afternoon, actually it was Bishop and I that came here earlier. So when I got back home, alright, I was very hungry. I was hungry. You know, this is how they say in those days, when we were young, they said, I will beat you, you want to eat everything. Have you heard that thing before? Maybe you guys remember when we were young. We say, by the time I'm through with you, you'll be hungry for everything. You know, I didn't used to understand what they meant, all right? But in these days, I have experienced hunger, not even beaten. As soon as I got downstairs, I saw one small boy selling this cassava that they put inside water. You know, I wanted to reach for it. I said, Bank, you are going home. You are going home. Stop all that nonsense. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere in all of this. When I go home, the first thing I did was to look for food. Now, as I entered the kitchen, I began to pick what they cooked. I didn't like it. It was mostly for the kids. So I tried to eat something. So along the line, I took some more cornflakes, took some more this, took more that. There's a bottle of granules my wife kept there. So I poured some of it. And I remember as I was pouring the granules into my hand and tossing it to my mouth, I began to give thanks. I'm coming to something. I began to give God thanks. I said, Lord, that I came home and there's food. Thank you. Thank you for this groundnut, Lord. And you know the interesting part? It was real worship. And it wasn't just because of hunger. I don't take food for granted. I don't think I have food because I have money. I give no explanation for the reason that why I have food to eat. As God is my witness, the only explanation I give for it is that the Bible says that God supplies us richly with all things to enjoy and to do good. And I remember I told myself, I said, Banky, I hope you have been sharing food with other people, because that's a sign of faith. And I reasoned, I said, God, I hope I've shared my food. And I was trying to get something to eat. And I was giving God thanks for the fact that there was water to drink. Not a big ceremony, but believe me, it was coming from the bottom of my heart. I'm coming to something now. Now, so no matter the story you tell me about what tomorrow will be like, I remember that the food I'm eating today, I didn't scheme to get it. It was given to me by God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Therefore, the food that we eat tomorrow, Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. All right? He says, sufficient unto the day is the groundnut thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the cornflakes and the gari available. Sufficient unto the day is the cup of water that is there. I thanked God for it, and because of that, I know my tomorrow's food is guaranteed. You can't scare me. That's what I'm saying. You cannot scare me. I'm talking about the shield of faith. You cannot make me afraid. When I first came to Enugu, houses were going for only 900,000 naira. A whole duplex. Buy in Transekulu. Now they are going for 25 million. Wow. I don't believe this. What is a young man going to do? I will tell you. When they are going for 1 billion, we shall have 50 billion. Are you getting my point? Because it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You can't scare me. You know, if you all need to do is watch news. There was a time Ozenlayer was getting thin. Can you remember? They forgot Ozenlayer now. What is now? Global warming. You know, I told you about, you can't say things that are not popular. People will fight you. I have studied enough and I've found out that the scientists have no proof that global warming is not cyclical. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Remember the Ice Age? You heard of Ice Age, Ice Age, Ice Age. Which human being, according to them, was around to heat up the Ice Age? Nobody. The thing became warm and all the dinosaurs died. And I said, wait, wait. So why do you think it is us that's warming up the globe? I said, watch it. Very soon, global freezing shall start. You will say, Pastor Banky said so. I was going to say in your lifetime, but I withdraw it, not in your lifetime, in the next few years. By the time you are old, you get tired of all these alarmists, young scientists trying to alarm us. Our God lost the election. He decided to start campaigning for global warming. He said, it's not your fault. If you're American president, you think you have time for this global warming thing. And people were afraid like you gave you Nobel Prize. I told myself, I said, look, I'm not afraid. Listen, God is in charge of times and seasons. I know what I'm saying. What shall happen? When crude oil will finish? Let me tell you the truth. There was a time nobody knew what crude oil was. Just about 100 years ago, for your information, they were not using petrol for anything. The only thing they wanted from it was kerosene. The petrol was an unnecessary contaminant. Then the way they were flaring gas before in Nigeria, they were flaring petrol when they distilled it. You want to scare me about tomorrow? Listen, there's wisdom from above that will give us the energy to use. Look, you can't scare me. That's what I'm going to explain. The shield of faith. Look, Jesus told the disciples, he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. He said, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, it is the Father's good pleasure to secure my tomorrow. Save up. You never can tell. I said, you'll be a fool to save up Naira because you can't tell. One thing I can tell is that the Naira will fail. One thing I can tell is that your dollar will fail. I was watching on TV the other day after Bernard Madoff skimmed everybody of $65 billion. And the young woman said that she lost about 8. Is it 8 or 16 million? I forgot the dollars. That this is wicked. She's been skimming, saving since she was young. Saving for this, saving for that. I said, see, that's why you should obey God. If you had allowed one Pastor Banky to preach to you, he would have told you that saving cannot guarantee your tomorrow. Therefore, you will have been generous. That's the principle of generosity. Go and read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Because I understand that God gives us all things to enjoy. Please, I'm coming to a particular point. The shield of faith. That's what I'm talking about. The shield of what? Faith. Satan gives all kinds of stories, trying to scare people. Because when they are afraid, they start walking against the will of God. Let me explain to you. The decisions you make in the midst of fear is guaranteed to be directly against God's will. Let me say it again. The decisions you make in the midst of fear, they are guaranteed to be directly against the will of God. So what Satan wants to do is to scare you. Once you start using fear as the premise upon which you make your decisions, you will get it wrong. 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 What shall we eat? What shall we drink? That's why the shield of faith is absolutely important. It's this kind of rest he places in your heart. Every time people call, you know, you've heard my the story before. One day, you know, talking about house. I told my wife, I said, think about it. Assume you know a man that has millions and millions of naira and earns more every month. And he has 10 houses right now. Project for the next 20 years. Who do you think will have is surer of a house to live in 20 years' time? Him or me that don't have right now the things that he has? The summary is, it is me. Because you know the God that I have. You don't know the one he has. You can't scare me. The day I went to the American embassy, the lady there happened to be the head in that section. I found out later when she and I were talking. She said, how come there's no... Because she looked at my bank balance. She said, bring your bank statement before we give you visa. She looked at my bank statement and did like this. I said, believe me, she did like this. That's how she like... She was just exasperated. Like, what? Everybody's been showing up with 1 million naira. One guy showed up with 4 million naira in his bank account. Don't mind the woman folding hand for me. She didn't give him visa. Because she said, we heard it, that how come you have 4 million naira in your account? You said you were a civil servant. Is that how much they pay you civil servants here now? Believe me. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The balance in both accounts will have been near zero. Except that one brother wanted to send Kingdom World money. So send the money into my account. Alright? And I didn't even know because he didn't call me to tell me. And this was before the days of, in fact, the bank there, I used to use the bank. They were not giving, text me SMS. Alright? So, it was when I came back that I looked at, which money is this one? And I didn't even recognize the name. The names were going one kind, one story. So I just simply, I said, okay, I now suspect that maybe this particular brother. I called him later. On that particular day, I didn't know. So the woman looked at this and said, why come you don't have money in your account? I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account. I said, I earn the money and I spend it. That's the way it goes. As God is my witness, that was what I told her. She now said that. Don't you have kids? I said, I do. Most certainly I do. Are you not saving up for their education? Hey, mama, you're an American. That's what your problem is. I said, I will save up for their education tomorrow in a bank account. Am I stupid? You don't know the history of the Naira? No, I didn't tell her all of this. I'm just adding to it now. You don't know the history of the Naira? When I was a child, in 1978-79, I remember well, 75 kobo exchange for $1. That is, if you had 750 naira, you bought $1,000. 30 years after, are you following me? 30 years after, $1 gets you 180 naira. Or if you get it from the bank, 150. And you think I'll be stupid enough to put physical cash in an account because I want my children to go to school, if the God that I am serving with all my heart today will not pay for their education, then let them be illiterate. What nonsense. After all, right now, what they are learning, their mother is teaching them. And I'm sorry to say this, the university education, they don't need it for prosperity, if that's what you're afraid of. But most importantly is that, forget it. The time will come that not only will they be able to go to university, I will be able to send the whole community to university if I so desire. And I don't have to pump money into an account right now to view that goal. Talking about the shield of faith. Listen to me, Christians. This is the warfare you're supposed to fight. I said there are two warfares. No, I started it last time. I didn't finish it. Today now, I started it again. And I can't finish it because I want to close now. But let me just emphasize on this first one again. The warfare is to protect. You know, this is almost the third day I'm preaching that thing because it's so important. When you are afraid, you miss God. Do you get what I'm saying? When fear is the primary thing in your heart, your decisions are against the will of God. And so, Satan, knowing this, you know what he does? He starts scaring you. And that's when he starts shooting the fairy darts. Are you getting my point? That's when you need the shield of faith. Shield of faith doesn't always talk. It just has a confident, resolute quietness inside his soul. That forget it. All these stories they are telling is not going to get anywhere. I am not going to die. I will not get cancer. I won't die in an accident. I will live long. I will be a father to my children. A husband to my wife. That this is a quietness inside the soul. It just stays there. So you tell any story you want to tell. The guy is not moved. I said something about the sword of the spirit. That's the one you use to knock off every suggestion for action that the devil suggests to you. Do you get what I'm saying? Because the fiery that is supposed to scare you has no suggestion. Just scaring you. Say, you know you're in trouble. You say, yeah, believe I'm in trouble. You know you're going to die. Yeah, buy me a casket. You know that kind of thing. You're just afraid. But when do you use the word of God? When he gives a direct suggestion concerning what to do about your situation. Turn these stones to bread. It is written. That's the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That's a strike. It strikes at you. You deflect that one. With the sword of the spirit, it is written. He said, bow to me and I will give you everything. He said, my brethren, are you hearing what they are telling me? And then you give a word. He said, we cannot bow. We will worship the Lord our God alone and only him we will serve. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Jump down and look, because see, you know, actually, take this ministry work as an example. Well-meaning people have given me all kinds of suggestions. When they are senior, I don't say anything. Not to them. When I say that, I don't say anything, I mean in their presence. Once I leave the place, I start talking. believe me, I start talking. He say, if you don't do like that, how the Sunday service now? You don't know these people. They will carry all their money and go to their churches. They will come and eat from you free of charge. I said, once I leave the place, I'm telling the truth. I'm not imagining this. These are things people told me. Once I leave the place, I'll say, Father, they didn't send me to ministry. You did. The Lord has sent me and his spirit. Jesus said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? I say, I will not lack in the name of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I say it and I leave. I don't need any human scheming. All kinds of schemes. People will tell you, this is how to do this thing. I need to. I say, if he's a senior person, I know they talk. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. Once I come out for there, I begin gisto. No, I'm serious. I begin talk. Sword of the spirit, the word of God, you used to deflect off every suggestion that's against the will of God that Satan is giving you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Listen, that's real warfare. You know, that's the real warfare. The real warfare is not our fight against the devil. That, you know what I mean? Oh, you Satan, coming against me. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. As a whole night you don't sleep, oh boy, something's wrong with you. Ignorance is your problem. Ignorance. Ignorance. All this prayer is a prayer of what? Fear, not the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, or fear, doesn't have any result. The devil is very happy. He said, I think we are getting to him now. Said tomorrow, what do we do? Tell him more bad news. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. But the second thing which I wanted to explain, let me just say one thing about it, is how we make advance for God. All right? And that one, again, is real warfare. But you find that, like I said the other time, the warfare there is still the same, basically the same thing. Is as you begin to walk, what you do is that you stay steadfast in the midst of your calling. And when God finds you steadfast, then he pushes kingdoms over into your hands. And when the devil wants to wrest those kingdoms out from your hands, it's still the same thing again. He comes with temptations. Then your warfare begins again, in which you want to maintain your stand. Your stand not upon the territory God has given you. That is what you are going to get. But your stand is a stand of what? Faith. That no, I won't change my mind because of this thing. I will not change my mind because you think, you know, because I tell you there's a principle. If I perish, let me perish. Listen, to hold your faith, be ready to lose physical things. Did I hear an amen? To hold on to your faith, be ready to lose physical things. To hold on, that's what Jesus meant. He said, it's better for you to enter eternal life without your eyes. Because if your eye makes you stumble, that's what I was trying to explain. Be ready to lose physical things. If that's the cost of holding on to your faith. I'll continue.